Okay, welcome back. Hour number two. Mitchell Henderson is back with us tonight. Hello, Mitch. Welcome. How are you?
Hello. Good. Good to be here.
Yes, always nice to have you. We have such a great group of people who stop by here every night to share things and help people understand the bigger picture, which is often conscripted into a very small format. That's what they do. By the way, Fox News actually has some hard news up there for a change. Denmark has deployed its vaunted military to Greenland after Trump says complete control of Greenland is needed, not some partial measure where we lease option this or that, whatever. He's threatening military action. So Denmark, which does not own Greenland, sent troops in. The Germans sent troops in last Friday. And by Saturday or Sunday, they were described as fleeing Greenland. They're getting the hell out real quick. So I don't know what that means, if anything. But the bottom line is this. Whatever the Zionists want and whatever they decide Trump is going to do, Trump will do. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if he just follows along with what he's saying. Complete control is needed. We're taking over. And that's going to be it. That'll also potentially be the end of NATO, which is very interesting. And ever since I was a kid, I remember various politicians talking about, we got to get out of NATO. Maybe this will finally be it. I don't know. So what do you have on your plate tonight, sir?
Well, first, let me make a few comments about that. I saw some YouTubes where they were asking Europeans. This is Europeans asking the question about this, of Europeans. And they said, "Well, is the Danish military, European, United Kingdom military, all these people going to be able to fight off Trump, the Americans?" And they said, "Oh no, our soldiers are total sissies. They're not going to be able to defend anything. They know that their armies are useless."
You should see the picture on Fox News of the Danish troops walking over some ice-covered something or another. They're just walking like their heads are down. They look like they'd rather be anywhere else than there. It's terrible.
Oh, yes.
There's no image of strength, cohesion, training. They're just walking around like they're in a park or something and lost. It's weird.
So the Europeans themselves, European peoples are not buying this. Europe wants to project strength and power, but they're known as woke sissies, and that's how people in their own country sees them. Okay, so there's one. The second thing is Trump's reason for doing this is because China or Russia will take Greenland. Russia and China have never, ever, not once, ever said anything about trying to seize Greenland. There is no threat to Greenland from China or from Russia, okay?
I agree.
There's no threat, okay? The biggest threat they can have is China might offer to do business with them, okay? In Russia, the Svalbard Islands, which belongs to Norway, Russia mines in Svalbard Islands and stuff, and maybe they're afraid Russians will start mining in Greenland. Norway allows them to mine on their territory. But Svalbard is a special circumstance, okay? This group of islands, there's a treaty in 1922 that says anybody in the world can go there. You don't need a passport. You don't need...
what is the name of these islands again?
Svalbard.
Okay, go ahead.
There's just a little town there. It's mining towns. You got to have a rifle because if you walk around in town, polar bears can get you and stuff. So it's just this frozen place. But by treaty, any country that signed the treaty, people can go there and you can just live there. You don't need permission. Okay, you don't need a visa. It's Norwegian territory, but you don't need that. You don't need a visa to go there or to live there or to work there. Nothing. It's just some weird treaty they made in 1922.
Got it.
But this is ridiculous that China and Russia want to take Greenland. They do not. They're not under any threat. They never have been. It's never been mentioned by anybody. So I just want to say that. But tonight I'd like to talk about the Civil War brewing here in America. Okay, now this is, we know what this is caused by. The World Economic Forum wishes to impose a global Marxism where you will own nothing and be happy. The World Economic Forum is run by Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock Investments, and Andre Hoffman, CEO of La Roche Pharmaceuticals. Okay, these guys have immense power in the world. Okay, this is not communist Marxism, but plutocratic Marxism, where the world economy is run by and for the benefit of the ultra-rich. This is Marxism for the benefit of a few and to the detriment of humanity itself, okay? So just draw this picture in your mind. The top 1% of rich people already own 50% of the world's wealth. The top 10% of rich people own 85% of the world's wealth, with the bottom 90% of
85.
People owning
wow.
only 15% of the world's wealth.
Yeah.
The top 30% of rich people own 97% of the world's wealth, with the bottom 70% of people only hold 3% of the world's wealth. This means that 7.2 billion people have to survive on just 15% of the wealth in the world, and 5.6 billion people have to get by on just 3% of the wealth in the world. That's 5.6 billion people have to get by on 3% of the wealth in the world. Okay, so this is, you know, the way they do this is through speculative profit, okay, through gambling on the world economy. They can accumulate vast amounts of wealth by doing this. This is why they'll never shut down merchant banking. They'll never shut down Wall Street or investment banking, because this is how mm-hmm. they gain control over the wealth. If you control people's pocketbooks, you control people. Okay, so you can see why the World Economic Forum wants to exterminate 7.5 billion people. It will, in effect, end the poverty that they have produced. Okay.
Yeah.
In classical Marxism, the working class overthrows the wealthy class through class warfare. In plutocratic Marxism, we have Marxism for the benefit of the wealthy instead of the benefit of the masses. Okay, so that what they have done is, it used to be, oh, the enemy of the people, of the workers, is the rich capitalist industrialists. Okay, so now all the terms have changed. They've redefined everything. Okay, the capitalist class now is white people. White people are privileged. White people, it's white people's fault that everything evil in the world is the fault of white people. And what's a shame is when you look at Minnesota and these places and you see the people protesting against the white people in favor of the people of color from third world countries, they're white people. White people are calling for their own extermination.
It's incredible how that was. Go ahead.
Has all these third worlders swamping Europe and swamping the United States for white replacement. It is a real thing. I mean, it's real because you can see it. It's real because you can see the anti-ICE movement is a pro third world replacement of white people in America movement. Okay.
Right.
It is
right.
Exactly what it is. So when you look at the plutocrats that run the world, 69% of them are white, 30% of them are Asian, only 1% of them are black. Okay, so they really do believe in equity. Okay, so I was saying that facetiously, but so white people are always wrong and always evil, unless of course they are the rulers. Well, harming white people is a virtue. It is appropriate that the revolution will paint ICE as jackbooted Nazis and fascists. The judicial system is the vanguard of the revolution. So let me try to break this down a little bit. So let's go first to some common canards that you hear from the media. The media is trying to say that people that are these foreigners are detained for civil offenses. So let me make this clear. I'm actually very familiar with this because my own father was a border patrolman and an immigration man back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Okay, so I'm very familiar with these laws. Okay, so the first law is illegal entry into the United States. So if you enter the United States at some place other than an immigration and customs point, like you go crawl over the border somewhere, swim across the river, that is a crime. That is a misdemeanor. The first time you do it, it's a federal misdemeanor. Now, can only foreigners get arrested for that? No. If you're an American citizen in Mexico and you climb over that fence to get back in without going through an immigration checkpoint, you are guilty of the same crime that any foreigner is guilty of by crossing illegally. The crime is not being a foreigner crossing illegally in the United States. It's anybody crossing illegally. The first time you do it is a misdemeanor. The second time you do it, and every time after that, it is a felony each time. So this is a felony. Every person that's in detention by immigration, by ICE, or Border Patrol, every one of those persons has committed a crime. You cannot put people in detention that have not committed a crime. So the first fallacy is that they're holding people that are not criminals. Every one of them is a criminal, without exception. Second fact, okay, if they go out to arrest some murderer, okay, from Honduras, say, okay, when they go into a house and there's five other illegal aliens from Honduras, but these people have not murdered anybody, when the immigration goes in, they have to arrest anybody who's committed the crime. So if nonviolent offenders are being arrested by ICE, it's because they are giving shelter to violent offenders. Okay? They are present with them, and that's why they get arrested. Okay, so and keep this in mind, if American citizens cross the border illegally, they've committed the same crime, they can go to prison for a year the first time, for 2 years the second time. So first time is a misdemeanor, second time an American does it, it's a felony for an American. Okay, now you'll hear them say, oh, it's a civil offense. Now, what a civil offense is this. If you get a visa, if you're in Honduras and you get a visa to come to the United States, and then you overstay the visa, let me ask you the question. Have you entered illegally? No, you have not. You obviously entered legally because you have a visa, right? So you have not committed the crime of illegal entry. You have just overstayed your visa. In that case, that is a civil matter. And what they'll do is they'll just ask you to leave. They give you, so if you enter illegally, they deport you. If you enter legally but overstay your visa, then they give you what's called a voluntary departure. Okay, somebody who has a voluntary departure, at some point in the future, they can get another visa to come to America because they have not committed a crime. But if you sneak into America and you get deported, you cannot get a visa to come to the U.S. because you have committed a crime here. Okay, so this is Immigration Law 101. The news media doesn't want to tell you that. They lie about everything.
Everything.
The entitlement that you see in Minnesota of these people, they feel entitled to obstruct and to assault federal officers. Well, that's a crime. It's just a crime. It's on the books. The politicians, legislators made that into a crime. These people feel okay. They feel entitled to ignore the law, okay? This is an entitlement because they're doing this on behalf of people of color from other countries, oppressed, marginalized, and underserved people, okay? So the other day in Minneapolis, well, it was in St. Paul, actually, they went into a church and disrupted a church service. Now this is a crime also, the fact that is a crime to go in there and disrupt. This law was passed to protect abortion clinics, but it also applies to churches. You can't go into a church and disrupt their service and so forth. Okay, it is a crime, just like doing it to an abortion clinic is. But you'll see the fault of Republicans is they're unlikely to press charges or arrest anybody. The left has total immunity and impunity for their crimes, okay? They don't get punished like the right does. They don't get punished. But these people may be white people, but they're Marxist white people, and Marxists have impunity. I'll get to why they have this in a minute, but they have impunity to do this. So you know, your freedom of religion is important. These people have a right to come in and disrupt your religious service on behalf of people of color from other countries that are here illegally, criminals that are here illegally. Okay, that's okay for them to do that. So then we have the Rene Good situation. If you try to run somebody over with your car is a deadly weapon. If you hit somebody with your car, that is an aggravated battery if you actually strike them, okay? And You can defend yourself from that. This is not new. This has been, I was the guy. There's people in the federal, not in the federal, but in the Florida State Penitentiary today that tried to hit me with their car. I didn't shoot them. That's why they're in prison. They're in prison because they did an aggravated battery on a law enforcement officer, which can carry up to life in prison. Okay, so people are in jail for trying to run people over with their car. Mm-hmm. If one person, I've done this many times as a police officer, one person tries to ram another person with the car, either in ramming their car or ramming them. Now, is this a traffic accident? No, sir. If you intentionally try to hit something, it is not an accident. It's on purpose. And it becomes an aggravated assault or an aggravated battery. Right. Yeah. So this is just the way it is. This is the way it has always been. Okay? So The next thing is six prosecutors, because we're leading into why they have impunity, six prosecutors in Minneapolis resigned, federal prosecutors, because they said, oh, well, the government wants us to investigate Rene Good's wife, Becca. Okay. Well, does anybody understand why? And see, the right has no ability to explain themselves. Why would they be investigating, why should they investigate Becca Good, the wife? Because You can see clearly in the video that she's the one who told her wife, drive, drive, when she assaulted the officer. That makes her wife complicit.
No one talks about this. Nobody. Yeah.
A federal officer. That is a crime.
I got it.
She is complicit in it. That is why they are trying to investigate her. They should. She's guilty of it. She is guilty. If she did this in Florida, if this happened in Florida, what you saw in Minneapolis, Becca Good would be charged with felony murder. She took an action that led to the death of another person.
Very interesting.
She encouraged a felony that caused the death of another person. She would be facing life in prison in Florida for saying drive, drive to Renee. Okay. These are the
facts. That's an accessory to whatever happened, for sure. I get it.
Yes, she's an accessory. She's definitely an accessory. So this is it. Now, so why does nobody go to prison for these things? And why does nobody actually do this? And I'll tell you why. Lawyers, okay? The criminal justice system, the civil justice system, the legal system in America is a jobs program for lawyers, okay? To illustrate this, let me give you an example. So I, as a young street police officer, I had to write tickets very often when an accident was involved, because I really didn't like writing people tickets, okay? So the most of the tickets I wrote was involved accidents. I wrote a ticket to the person at fault, okay? So I would go to traffic court a lot, okay? And this is how it works. If you hire a lawyer to come in and handle your ticket, you will be found not guilty. If you do not hire a lawyer, you will be found guilty. Okay, I sat hours and hours of traffic court, and I watched this go on and on. The biggest thing you can do to get out of a ticket is hire a lawyer, because because the judge will reward you by finding you not guilty if you hire a lawyer. Okay. And this is true in
so
the
you can buy basically you can buy your way out of a ticket. What
right,
you're saying
by hiring a lawyer.
I got
so
it.
The judge is a lawyer, and he's given a bone. He's thrown a bone to his lawyer buddies, right? So the same in misdemeanor court. If you hire a lawyer in your misdemeanor court, you're likely to have your charges dismissed, unless it's flagrant. You got to remember the penalty's not drastic in a misdemeanor court, so. You know, they don't feel as guilty about finding you guilty. But generally, if you bother hiring a lawyer, you're going to be charged. Okay, this is any kind of misdemeanor. So this is the way it goes. This goes for felonies too. If you got a public defender, you're screwed. These guys aren't going to do anything for you. Okay, so you have to pay. You got to pay good money to get out of felony charges.
Gotcha.
Judges know this, okay? So now let's look at the judicial system itself, okay? So we have a system where we have your frontline judges that try your case, and then you can appeal to an appeals court, and then past the appeals court, you can go to the Supreme Court. Okay, the information that I'm about to give you, I got from judges, okay? This is from judges. This is from lawyers. This is not speculation on my part. This is what they told me. So when you are convicted, okay, and you appeal your case, those appeal judges, they are inclined 90% of the time to deny your appeal. And the reason they're denying your appeal is because they do not want to find the lower court judges guilty. They're taking they don't want to find that
really?
The lawyer.
So it's
the
bad for business.
The lawyer court has made a mistake. Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the appeal court judges, once upon a time, they were just regular judges too. So the statute showed his back. So they're loath to overturn on appeal anything, unless it's like so obvious and egregious that it'll be embarrassing if they don't overturn it. Okay, that is a different story. Okay, so then it goes the same to the Supreme Court. You ask yourself, why doesn't the Supreme Court of the United States, which is ostensibly Republican, why don't they protect the rights of the American people? Why don't they do it? Well, they don't do it because they do not want to overturn a ruling by a lower court judge, because once they were a lower court judge, this is see the whole system is about taking care, lawyers taking care of lawyers, okay, is what it is. So...
what you're saying basically is, Mitch, what you're saying here is virtually everything is rigged against the common man and woman in this society.
Sure. Yes, it is. So now let's go back to the basic lawyers. If you're a lawyer, you went to law school. Okay. So back in 1986, I was leaving the police department. I was going to finish my master's degree, and I had taken the LSAT to take to go to law school. I was going to try to get into Stetson Law School down in St. Petersburg, Florida. So I passed the test and I was admitted to Stetson Law School. Okay, and I went down to interview with the professors and stuff. Okay, I was struck by something one of the professors told me. He said, "The truth is what you can convince people the truth." That's the truth. In other words, there is no truth. Not only that,
but in
their curriculum, they completely ignored the Second Amendment to the Constitution. The Bill of Rights is holy, high holy, but not the Second Amendment. Nobody would discuss it. They didn't want you thinking about it. In other words, it was a very super Marxist liberal education. Okay, and they wanted you to defend and protect underprivileged, underserved people of color, and not put them in prison. It was such a sickening, nauseating liberal atmosphere I don't want to make it seem like I'm some wonderfully good, upright, moral person or anything. Okay, But
well, you are, whether you like it or not.
Far.
So let's just get
it's
that on the table.
It's too far. It's just
I got
too
it.
Far.
I got it. I got it. No, I
could not
totally understand. Yeah.
Be that dishonest. Okay, so I did not do it. I did not. I was one of the main reasons I was going to do it is because I'd been in court a lot. I knew how court worked, and I would make more money in as a lawyer than I would as a cop. So that's one reason I was.
But you actually pulled the plug on that whole idea because it was the whole milieu was so nauseating to you. You just couldn't live that kind of a life. Yeah.
And corruption beyond.
Well,
in
micro. I did something similar. I went to real estate school in record time and got my California real estate license. Went into the office at this firm. I hired me. I said, go get your license. You're hired. So I went in and I listened and I watched at these agents, brokers, lying, conning people, laughing about it sometimes all day.
Yes.
And I left and I never went back. That was the end of it. I wouldn't have anything to do with it. I wouldn't soil myself with that kind of behavior, that kind of lack of ethics.
It's
just what you did, but on a much much higher level than mine. But I get it. I thoroughly understand. I won't do it.
So this is the problem. So our judiciary, that's when I say the judiciary is the vanguard of the revolution, okay, I'm saying the judiciary is how they're going to take over. See, everything Trump does, whether it's good or it's bad or indifferent, they're going to oppose. They're going to rile people up and get people to protest everything he does, whether it's good for America or bad for America. It doesn't matter. They just oppose him on everything he wants to do. Okay.
Yeah.
So, my attitude towards ICE is, God bless them, and I hope they take as many people as they can out of his place, okay? These people are not good for us. These are people who will be hunting you down and killing you in the near future, okay? If you're a white person, all right? If Democrats take power again, they will just expropriate white people's property. They say they will. Did you see the head of housing in New York City that Mamdani appointed? She says, well, we're going to tax white people more. Well, you know, the Constitution says, well, no, you can't single out white people and tax them more. But see, they're going to change that if they can. They're going to be very punitive on white people. At first, they'll just take punitive measures, seize your property and stuff. They'll start putting you in jail for petty things. Next thing you know, they'll be executing us wholesale, putting us in camps and stuff. So this is the writing on the wall. Why would the Democrats do this? Because they're Marxists. Because Marxists did this to 200 million people in the 20th century. This is not
is
a joke.
I'm not exaggerating anything.
Yeah. I'm just saying, look, people, this is the writing on the wall. When you see the people that went into this Christian church in St. Paul, they were just slamming white people and shaming white people. You're white, you're evil, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, and we have to put up with this, okay? And you know, the Trump administration is not strong, okay? So let me get into the Trump administration a little bit here, okay? Because remember last time I was talking about Iran, and I was saying, oh, by Monday, the Trump was already making excuses for the Iranian regime. He said, many of these people were killed in stampedes. The big crowds, you know, and they stampede and people get killed. I'm not going to hold the regime responsible for that. That was Trump making excuses for the regime because, see, he, after Venezuela, he expected Iran to just shake in their boots. He was running his mouth, boasting, okay, and he thought that he was going to scare the Iranians. Look a week on. Now the Iranians are scaring Trump. Now they're saying, oh, you know, you interfered in our internal affairs, so we're gonna bomb your bases in the Middle East and stuff. It's now they're threatening us. Okay, and what did Trump do? So by Tuesday of last week, Wednesday, the Iranian foreign minister came on American TV and said, okay, well, we've stopped the killing and we're not going to execute anybody. Okay, and Trump just took him for the woods. So I guess there won't be anything going on because I won because I bullied Iran into stopping the executions and stopping the killing. The killing has not stopped. The executions have not stopped. They've gotten worse. It's to the point now, a week later, where generally when I look at the news from China, Russia, Iraq, and these places, the regime has put the rebellion down with immense bloodshed and many
5,000 perhaps dead. We look, as you know, and all of you listening know, the CIA, ergo the U.S., and the Mossad, ergo the U.S. controlling country, Israel, we're knee-deep in all of that stuff. There's so many levels to these things. They're not simple. They're not cut and dry. They're not easy to grasp. But the bottom line is we are not running our own show, controlling our destiny at all. We are controlled. And it's sickening to me to watch happening.
So you see this. So if you followed me from back in December, okay, what I was saying is, we put out a new America First foreign policy and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, by the end of January, you can see that that's all pretend. Okay, actually, Israel wants to get us into a war in Iran. If Trump bombs Iran in the next few weeks and starts a war over there, that will not be for the Iranian people. That is for Israel.
Oh, hell no.
He's doing that.
Yes, 100%. You bet.
And you know, I'm kind of a little bit upset about it. And it's not that I'm against going to war with Iran. I'm totally against it. However, what I'm also against is total depravity and immorality of telling people, go ahead and rebel and we'll come in and we'll protect you from...
Oh, that's so sickening. That's disgusting. It's awful.
Thousands of people have died on
that's
Trump's
correct.
Words.
Okay? Look what we did in the 50s to Hungary. Was it Hungary?
Yeah.
We said, go ahead.
1956.
Revolt.
Hungary.
Yes.
And
same
we did
thing.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, it's even more recent than that. After the Gulf War in 1990, Bush told the Shias to revolt against Saddam. And they did.
Oh, he set
and
them
Saddam
up, I remember.
Murdered tens of thousands of Shia ruthlessly, even put gases on them. And we did nothing to intervene. Now, we did intervene on behalf of the Kurds when he was trying to whack all the Kurds. And why is that? Because the Kurds are pro-Israel. Okay? So that's what the difference is. Okay? That's why we support the Kurds in Syria, because they're pro-Israel. So
do you remember... Let me ask you a question, Mitch. You remember when Israel was bombing and killing... people in Lebanon. They were attacking Lebanon. This is, 10, 15 years ago. And there, maybe 10, 12, there was a huge explosion in the harbor. I think it was in the Beirut area. Anyway, I called that a tactical nuke. That thing was gigantic. And that was a Jewish bomb. I think they dropped a bomb on them. It was legitimately a nuke. And that's not the first time. They've done this before. These people are complete outlaws in virtually everything they do.
Well, sure it is. But I want everybody to look at Trump. So Trump makes this peace treaty in Gaza and celebrates a great victory, what a great peacemaker he is. Listen, there is no ceasefire in Gaza. There's no ceasefire.
Not for a moment.
They're still bombing those people. They're still killing those people. There's no ceasefire. Now he's ready to go on to phase two without a ceasefire actually being in place. Okay?
And don't forget, this government is aiding and abetting that. We're aiding and abetting it. We are part and parcel of it.
Trump is going to be the leader of the Gaza Peace Committee. He's going to be the leader.
Black is white. Up is down. It's all upside down.
Rich Jewish people that will be running Gaza. I'm sure the people of Gaza
100%
are going to love that.
Correct.
Being,
absolutely
being
right.
Run by Jewish people. Okay, so you see, Trump declares a victory when there is no victory. It's a delusional world. He made peace between Thailand and Cambodia, who's back at war. He made peace with Eastern Congo, and they're still at war. There's no peace anywhere, he said. He said, I got 8 peace treaties in 2025, but none of those peace treaties are in effect. They're all
What a liar the guy is. It's incredible.
But see, he just pretends. He just pretends, oh, there's a victory, and he claims a victory, and then that's it. He did this wonderful thing. He just stopped Iran from murdering all its people with his loud mouth, okay, which is a fiction. He didn't stop anything, okay? He didn't stop anything in Gaza, didn't stop anything in Iran, didn't stop anything in Lebanon. None of these places has anything stopped. It's just that he's pretending that they stopped so that he can claim victory, okay? So did Trump learn anything from Iraq and Afghanistan? Oh, yes, he did. So he goes to Venezuela, he takes out the leaders, but leaves the oppressors of the people in charge. So he didn't really go there to free the people of Venezuela. He went there so he could bully them and make them sell him oil and stop selling oil to Iran and China. Now, our news will tell you that this is devastating to China, that they get 30% of their oil from Iran alone. This is not true. They get 10% of their oil from Iran and Venezuela put together. It's like a million barrels a day from Iran and about a half a million barrels a day from Venezuela. They actually, that's only 10% of the oil they import, Okay. You got to remember, China itself produces about 4 million barrels a day. Okay. So they have their own, they are producing their own oil. Then they have closer oil they can buy from Russia. They're buying from Canada. They buy oil from the United States, people. Okay. We sell them oil. It's not about not selling China oil. Okay. And one reason China buys all this oil is they have the second biggest refining capacity in the world. So refining means not just to make gasoline and diesel, but also petrochemicals and stuff like that for pharmaceutical reasons or whatever. Okay, plastics, you know, all the other things that you use petrochemicals for. China is on the verge of being the world's largest producer of that stuff. And, well, America can't have that, okay? We got to be number one, you know, for some reason. No, no, why, you know? We sell oil to China. China's going to make up for this oil that they're losing from Venezuela and Iran by getting it from Canada, Mexico, and the United States, okay? I mean, you know, we do cut other people's oil off so that they have to buy our oil. We did that to Europe. We imposed sanctions on Russia, so Europe would have to start buying American oil at higher prices. Okay? So America's doing this for our benefit, but keep in mind, too, that why was China buying Venezuelan oil? Charity. Okay? Why were they buying Iranian oil? Charity. Okay? Because you know where they buy more oil from? They buy more oil from the UAE, Qatar, Oman, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. Those countries sell China more oil than Iran does. Okay. So the news never gives you this big picture. They make you believe that China is dependent on Iran and dependent on Venezuela for oil. They are not. That is, the American press said 30%, but I checked it out, that Chinese only get 10% of their oil from Iran and Venezuela. And that oil is generally shipped to Malaysia. So when you want to look at how much oil that China buys from Iran or Venezuela, you look at how much they buy from Malaysia, because it's shipped to Malaysia, and Malaysia rebrands it as Malaysian oil and then sells it to whoever they want to in the world. Okay. So.
Got it. Yeah.
So many lies.
These are not good days for America, not good days for the world. And it's the same chosen who are running everything into the ground. It's obvious.
Well, on that thing about when he made the new defense policy on December 5th, the new national security strategy.
Yeah.
He was talking about spheres of influence. One reason that he wants to cut ties with Europe is, that's going to be Russia's sphere of influence.
You know, what does that mean, though? Does that just mean Russia's economic sphere of influence, i.e. trade
Russia
back
can
and
do
forth?
Business, yeah.
Trading
means,
back and forth between the two.
Mean
and
that
why?
It's not that Russia's going to control and
no.
tell them what to do.
No, 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 no,
they're
no.
They're just going to sell them
They're
oil.
Trading back and forth like any two right. power structures will. It's a big
sure.
deal. Europe's problem is it's been invaded and overrun. That's the problem.
Well, not only that, but Europe cut off trade with Russia, China, and now the
Stupid.
United States. I mean, what's wrong with these people? Well, they've
Stupid.
Got the America sanction thing. I mean, America just likes to sanction everybody and stuff. And let me tell you, it doesn't really sway the world that much. It annoys them. Okay? Not only that, but these countries hold a lot of bonds. But I want to warn people that if you look at how many bonds Europe is holding, that is not a true figure. Okay, probably I'd say 70% of those bonds that are being purchased in Belgium by the United States. The United States has a thing in Belgium where they buy U.S. bonds to make it look like Belgium is buying these bonds. These bonds are being bought by us. We're buying our own bonds. And this is to bulk up the bond market, to keep bond market prices appropriate. So we're having to buy our own bonds in order to hold up the bond market. Okay. So there's all kinds of, everything is fair in finance and economics. There's no morality. There's no real rules about it. Just take what
right.
you can and, don't worry about it. So what we see, we are seeing things spiraling out of control. The more it looks like Trump is controlling things, the less he's actually controlling. He's not even controlling things here in America.
That's an interesting statement. Yeah, that's pretty good. It's all scripted illusion, remember. So,
right,
good, yeah,
right.
good point.
Yeah. He's just giving the appearances of things, okay? There's no victory in the world. There's no anything. I mean, he boasts, if you remember back in the fall, he was boasting that he got India to quit buying Russian oil. Well, he did no such thing. And India said, well, where are you getting this from? We're still buying as much as oil before, blah, 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 blah. But then they'll keep planting stories that India has come around to Trump. You know, everybody in the world is bowing down and worshiping Trump. Okay, he has scared everybody. He has scared them, or he has used his silver tongue to influence them to come under American sway. This is all fiction, people. This is fiction. This is not going on.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're seeing is you're seeing now a drift into civil war, and I just I have personal feelings about this. I think there's a benefit to us going into a civil war because there's a benefit and a not benefit. The benefit is we're not immediately struck with nuclear weapons and there'll be chaos. Okay, so civil war is going to be nasty. People will be killing people like crazy. Okay, but. But the benefit to that is the government won't be in control anymore. And, you know, they're pretty insufferable. So they won't be in control anymore. And we don't have to listen to their inane, vapid remarks about everything, okay?
Their platitudes are enough to make you puke.
And stuff,
yeah.
Okay? We don't have to put up with them anymore. It'll be a lot of fighting and stuff, okay? But the problem is this. The problem with that is if the United States goes into a civil war, that makes nuclear war more likely because the only way America will be able to respond to any foreign actions is with nuclear weapons. When a country becomes weak, that's when they're more likely to use nuclear weapons, not less likely. Like if Russia started imploding, there would be a nuclear war. If China started imploding, there would be a nuclear war. Okay, so this is just the way that strategically it is. If you don't have an army that can handle things, you got to resort to nukes. So it's kind of hard to tell the trajectory. Are we going to go into civil war first and then nuclear war, or will there be a nuclear war which will bring about a civil war? You know, it's just at this point, it's just hard to tell which way it's going, but it's going both ways. We're heading into nuclear war. We're heading into civil war. So which one comes first, so far I have not been able to determine. Okay, but this anti-ICE stuff, the anti-white hatred, it is going to continue. It's not going to stop. It's not going to calm down. It is going to continue.
Oh, it's going to become more institutionalized.
People out in the street, yeah, murdering white people.
Okay? I'm afraid you're right.
So.
Yes. Friends, you best take protection seriously.
Book, the final wars, the coming civil war, how to survive the coming civil war, World War III, and the collapse of civilization, because it's coming. Okay, and the final war is available at Amazon, and if you're in there, tools that you need, the way of thinking about things, how to prepare, how to deal with it when it happens, and stuff. This a lot of. Common sense stuff. You know, I watched the History Channel. I don't know when they made this video. It was maybe a few years ago, but it was talking about if there was an apocalypse in America, how would you survive? Well, their apocalypse scenario was just a virus, a flu that wiped out America. Okay, but still, the actions of the people were still pretty bad. Okay. Like, they stayed in the city and sheltered in place for, 6 months. And then, of course, 3 months, I think. And then they had trouble getting out, which, of course. It's like, if you see it's coming, you got to run. You got to be prepared to run, you know. And you need to be a little bit ahead of everybody else so that you can get out. Because as soon as a critical mass of people decide it's time to get out of the city, it's going to be very hard to get out of the city. And people will be setting up roadblocks, looting you and stuff like that. I mean, I've been in other countries that went into civil war and stuff, and that's a common theme is a bunch of guys will get together and start ripping off people as they're trying to flee the city. If you go back to the fall of Vietnam in 1975, that's what you saw there. The South Vietnamese soldiers were more interested in looting the refugees that were running from the communists than they were in fighting the communists. Okay.
So there is a very low common denominator on this planet among peoples, no matter what label they want to wear or how they want to talk. Doesn't matter. Greed, taking advantage of the less fortunate, it's pretty disgusting.
Well, that's what this world is about. It is taking. When I just told you that 30% of the people are only leaving 70% of the people with 3% of the assets of this world.
Yeah.
That is exactly what we're talking about, and that's what's going on now. You know, I mean, they used to have call centers everywhere. That if you had an issue or a problem, you could just call the call center, and pretty quickly somebody would. Take care of your issue. Now you can only contact them by phone, and there's nobody to pick up the phone. And if they do pick up the phone after hours, they're not going to know what to do. They're not going to help you out. Okay? This is intentional.
Those call centers are
intentional.
Yes, intentional, and they're terrible. They're dehumanizing everything. You can't get hold of a real human being. And when you do, with the level of competence now that most people looking for work allegedly have, they don't. It's very disappointing, very discouraging. What the hell good can they do? But it's at least sometimes nice to hear a real voice on there. We're right to that point already.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, the way the business model in the United States is, think about this. Everybody's experienced this, okay? So once upon a time, they had vinyl records. But I know they've come back, but vinyl records, then they came out with the 8-track, which, you know, they ate tape a lot. You know, they were sort of problematic. They were bulky. They were big. And they came out with cassette tapes,
which
were a little bit more reliable and didn't take up as much space and stuff, and they sounded okay. Then they came out with the CD, okay, to put music on. And, well, did they give you a choice to still have vinyl or still have cassette tapes? No. You either had CDs and CD players or nothing. Okay, we saw the same with, they had, you know, you could go to Blockbuster and rent these videotapes and stuff. And then people got amassed big things of videotapes. Then the industry quit making videotape players and insisted you buy DVDs, okay? And then they moved, they're slowly moving from DVDs to, well, you have to have a streaming service. You can't. They don't want you. They don't really want you buying even DVDs. They even quit. Even with radio, they want you to get to streaming because they quit putting CD players in vehicles and stuff. I mean, this is the industry dictating to you what you're going to buy. This is not capitalism, people, because you're not voting with your money for what you want. They're telling you what you can vote for.
It's all true.
It used to be the customer was always right. Now the customer exists for the benefit of the workers, okay? So the workers are not there to serve you. You are there in that business to serve the workers. When you go to McDonald's or fast food places, do you notice that they'll make you wait in line for a long time before somebody will come and take your order? That's because they want you to get in your car and drive around in the line. They want to do the business model where you're going to the takeout. They don't want you eating in the store. So they'll be very, they'll take their time getting there. They'll make it sort of a hassle for you to order inside. Okay?
Got it. Yeah.
You are no longer the person who decides what's going to be produced, as in classic capitalism. Instead, the industry is deciding what you're going to buy, whether you like it or not.
That's true.
Okay. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, keep your seatbelt fastened, everybody. Mitchell's right on top of things. We'll see. The attack on Iran, any time now, huh? They've got all that weaponry and munitions shipped over there now. It's all staged, apparently, ready to go.
It's all up to Israel, you know.
Yeah.
It's only going to happen when it's good for Israel to happen. It's not,
totally
not nothing to do
true.
With the Iranian people. It's what's good for Israel. That's a determining factor.
Well, I personally hope the Iranians are able to launch to their heart's content as much as they want to. This must be answered somehow, this kind of abuse. So horrible. Thank you, Mitch.
Yep. You're welcome.
Talk soon.
Good night, everybody. Okay.
All right. Mitchell Henderson. Okay, there we go. Stand by, and we'll continue with more after this.